up, y'all, and welcome to another episode of Aisha Speaks Real. So y'all know before every episode we gotta get into the drinks. I had to drink a little sip of water. And we gotta get into this amazing guest. I don't even wanna say a name. I wanna give you that honor.
Okay.
Yeah, give you that honor. Who do I have sitting next to me right now in this magnificent space?
Hey y'all, it's Blue Jean, of course, the poet. I'm here with Miss Aisha, and I'm excited to get into some things today.
Okay, y'all, so now we're getting into these drinks. So, I don't know if y'all can really see our glass, but y'all see I have a nice little sweet red wine. It's really it's sweet Walter's Rosé. I think I had it last time. I really can't remember. I either had this or the Moscato. But y'all know my Moscato ain't too far, okay? It's not too far. We got a little bit of that little. But Blue Jean, tell them what you drinking today, because I'm really curious, y'all. I wonder how this little wine tastes. I'm going to have to try it out for the next podcast. She came with some different stuff, y'all. What is that?
This really like 40, like some beer. But y'all, it's wine. It is Japanese plum wine. It's really good. It really tastes like cherries. It's so good.
So it's not like a, you don't have like a, what I was finna say, a bitter taste?
At all.
Okay, because I'm not going
to. So you had some.
Yeah, I ain't gonna lie, cause I was thinking it may would have had a bitter taste, especially like by the color, cause I hate bitter wine, like same. and like I really like red wine, but I like the sweet red wine, cause I hate bitter.
Have you had
salty earth? Yes, it's my favorite wine. Like, girl, that's why I was like, oh, I can go get some wine, but then I was like, it's Sunday, the liquor's so closed.
Could have went to the gas station
yesterday.
Let me see.
That's salted earth.
Not salted earth.
I said I ain't never had gas station wine.
Selling.
Oh, for real?
Yeah.
Girl, you not, girl, don't tell me it.
You gotta go to the Kroger's, they got the wine section.
See, I don't be in Kroger like that, but I definitely need to go now because, I can get some wine anytime. Okay, don't tell me that.
Sure. Salt and Earth used to be my favorite. But
so what's your favorite
sweet, now? I don't really have a favorite. Right now, this is Top Contender, I guess.
Okay, what is that again?
The brand is Takara Plum
Wine.
Okay,
that's the brand, Takara Plum Wine. Okay.
Yeah.
And then the flavor was what?
What do you say? Experience the unique and mellow aroma of Takara. Oh, no, I didn't
know
what it
says.
It says plum flavors and caramel.
Okay, so plum flavors. Okay. Plum flavors and caramel. That sounds interesting. Okay, see, and as y'all see with her, she came just so different with her style today. So I already kind of had the feeling that the wine would be something extravagant as well. Because I've never heard of no pomegranate caramel. I'm gonna try it, because y'all know I like trying stuff, even if it be bad to me. But I'm sure that's good. So we definitely gonna get into it. So we're definitely finna get right into the podcast, y'all. Yeah, I'm really excited about today, because y'all know every time I get on the podcast, especially like when I'm talking to a guy, I'm like, you know, I'm always having men on the podcast, and you know, somebody asked me, they was like, do you ever have women on your podcast? I'm like, yes, like, okay, I had one, but it's like, I be trying to find them, you know what I'm saying? And I always tell people, like, dealing with other women, like, that's, I guess that's how like men are like dealing with each other. It's like dealing with another woman, sometimes it'd be like, bitch. Can we work together? You know what I'm saying? Because depending on what it is you're doing, and it doesn't just have to be y'all being in the same field, but two women who are very ambitious sometimes, you know, collapse a little bit, and you know, and then it sometimes you know, us women, and I'm speaking for myself, so we have these ill intentions towards each other, and a lot of times they're not conscious. There's a lot of times that are unconscious, and we just feel like, okay, I don't want to work for her. But until you get to know a person, then it's like, okay, I changed my mind. So I feel like today, you know, as I was talking to her, you know, about doing the podcast, I was like, I feel like today would be like an epidemic for me in the podcast world, like for myself, because I never, like, ever just have a female on the podcast, you know what I'm saying? And like, I always like to have a woman's input, you know what I'm saying? And it ain't just towards like a feminism thing, but it's just more so showcasing, for me, women's, you know, unity, us just doing things together, especially as it pertains to just a black woman. But that's enough of me talking, y'all. This ain't even my show, okay? I just had to get that out. But the first question of the day, and I think everybody probably wants to know, especially as you introduce yourself, Blue Jean. Where did this, like, where did this name come from? Because to me, that's already unique. You know what I'm saying? Within itself. And I don't know. I feel like it just fits you. It really does. It really fits you. So tell us a little bit about the background of that name.
Well, around the time that I started doing, like, picking up on how many shows I was doing, like, open mic nights and stuff, mm-hmm. I was going, so I was like, I don't want to go as Destiny, because it kind of feels very generic.
Exactly.
It's too many Destinies in the world, and I kind of want to, like, differentiate myself from them, and, like, okay, well, that's Destiny, but this is this Destiny.
Right.
So, at first, me and my friends, we were just sitting around, and we kind of, we don't speak French, we just like to play around with French sometimes, and my middle name is Chantel, mm-hmm. so somebody was like, Je m'appelle Chantel, I am Chantel. But I was like,
yeah,
it's cute, but like, I don't want to rhyme. Like, I don't want to be corny. I don't want to feel inauthentic. Yeah, that's me, but it don't feel like me for real.
Yeah.
So I love denim. I love fashion for sure. Mm-hmm. I love denim. I love blue jean outfits. I just had an all denim outfit on yesterday. But I just love it. It just feels like me, and you can wear it in many different ways. Mm-hmm. And my grandmother's name is Betty Jean. So I decided to take a little bit from her just to pay a little homage tribute to her.
Yeah.
And blue jean because of denim. And I didn't want it to be like, I sat down with a friend. I think it was at Howlin' Mouse one night. I think it might have been the first time we went to Howlin' Mouse. And me and my friend sat down and wrote, shout out to Khalil because he did help me. We sat down, he typed my names out. Okay, blue jean, spelled regular. Just that. And then we like flipped the E and the U and was like, okay, add a dash.
Okay.
Like something.
And different.
I just feel like it just represents me to a whole core of who I am and just shows also another side of me. It just includes my fashion side as well.
Okay. And I wanted to get into that because as you know, present yourself today, you look like the fashionista. You know, that you truly are, just like I said, inside. And before we do get into the fashionista side of you, when it relates to your name as Blue Jean, how does that define you artistically for the people who just are still lost and don't know what you're talking about? You know, for people who may not know you, kind of give them a little glimpse of what's behind that name, Blue Jean.
What's behind the name Blue Jean is someone that's, I feel like, still trying to find themselves, but also trying to cement themselves and what they want to do, because this is what I'm doing right now. I'm kind of showing people who I am and what I stand for, and like what I want them to know about me. And what I want them to know about me is I care about my art very deeply. It does sit in me, and to sit here and share it with people, it means a lot. And for them to receive well, it means even more.
Yeah. And so what do you define as your art? Like, how can you display to the people like listening in today and just watching, what is Blue Jean art? Because I'm curious. I'm curious what's Blue Jean art, y'all.
My art is everything from the fashion to music to the poetry. It's just a test of my times, just to show, you know, just a, what am I trying to say?
Just take your time.
Yeah.
Look, like I do a church, take your time. Take your time.
It's just, I just feel like my art is who I am, in a sense that it lets me be free, be creative, and just speak from a place of emotions, which people don't usually do a lot. They kind of shelter themselves from their emotions.
Yeah.
And my emotions is kind of who I am. They don't control me, but like, they really do define me, because I'm an emotional creature. I'm very sensitive, and I just feel things a little differently. Yeah. So when it comes to my poetry, like, just to say, I write a lot about love. Mm. I really am a lovey person, but I feel like I have to be careful with who I show my love to, because not everybody deserves it. And not everybody's intentions are always pure when you show your love.
Yeah.
And then everybody just wants to leech off your energy and just kind of see, ooh, she got good energy, so let me get up in her corner.
Right, and let me just try to take some of that without even giving.
You know, without giving anything. Yeah. A lot of people are takers and not givers, and you cannot be a taker without giving, because that just feels like stealing.
Exactly. And you know, stole mine's. No, stole me. Don't steal me.
Exactly.
Take me back.
But the thing is, you can steal from me, but you can never be who I am.
I'm every woman. This is all in me.
Like, you can never be who I am, because to me, everybody has their own finesse, and everybody is meant to be who they are. Nobody is meant to be somebody else, and that's why they placed on this earth.
Yeah.
And I say that because I low-key been trying to figure out what is my purpose.
Mm-hmm.
And a long time, I feel like I was just, like, living. I didn't know what was going on. So, like,
yeah.
finally diving into the world of like poetry and just diving and tapping into my creative side, it just kind of helps me.
Yeah, it's really like opened you up in a way for your eyes. It's like, okay, maybe these little hobbies, you know, can actually turn into like a career or something that you, like you said, defines me and my artistic culture within myself. So I really love that. That's beautiful. And I don't know, y'all know, probably especially if you watch the recent podcast, if you follow me on social media, that I'm also a poet. But the reason I even brought that up is because a lot of people, when it comes to my poetry, they always tell me, why do you write about pain? And I write, like, all my poems are literally about hurt, pain, violence, you know? You know, and really just, it, like, the energy that I felt, like, just from you saying that, you know, I write from a place of love. I always tell people, like, you never know the connection you have with an individual, you know, through conversation and stuff like that. And I don't know, it's like, I feel like the fact that you even brought that up, that you write about love, for me personally, it just kind of did something to me, because, like I said, I always write about pain and how, because of love, I was hurt. And I feel like just the idea that if you stand it on that podcast, and not even just with me, just in the fact that I write poetry, but even for the listeners, you know, a lot of times we think so much about the pain that we go through, and we drain ourselves into all the drought of feeling emotionless, you know what I'm saying? Instead of just feeling love, not by people, but just within ourselves. And I just think that itself is beautiful, you know what I'm saying? And I think that you expressing yourself through your music and through your poetry, it inspires so many people. And like I said, today, it inspired me. It inspired me, it really did. So, the fashion. I want to talk a little bit about the fashion. And I did, I want to kind of chime back into how do you like let your fashion define you as an artist when it comes to your music and also your poetry?
Well, let me start by how I kind of got into fashion.
Okay.
When I was younger, I just said, I want to be a fashion designer. I don't want to be a fashion
designer. Really?
So, but I just, for the life of me, I cannot draw.
I was just about to ask you that. Can't you draw? Because
I can draw. I'm an abstract artist. I like to let people sit on my stuff and let them feel how they want to feel about it, rather than trying to define myself with what I draw, you know?
Right.
You know. But I got into fashion by just, well, let me say this. Before 10th grade, I really could not dress. Like, it was just like, I would just throw stuff together. But I also thought, I think that comes from a place of me not caring.
Right. What people think about you, and you just have your own style.
But it also came as a place of not wanting attention on myself. Because I get kind of in my shell when the attention is all placed on me, and it makes me feel, in a way, kind of insecure.
Yeah.
So I feel like it was coming from a place of insecurities about not caring about my appearance, when in actuality I really did.
Yeah.
So I feel like around 10th grade, I discovered the thrift store. And I just, going into the thrift store, you're able to kind of curate an image of yourself that who you want to be. Yeah. Might not be who you are right now.
Yeah.
But it's like, ooh, I can get to this level.
Right.
So I kind of started thrifting, and that's kind of where it just evolved. And I started like just really and wholeheartedly not caring for real, like just wanting to be my whole self, and wanting to just feel whole and not give a fuck. Seriously,
we don't give a fuck.
Like,
yeah, I love it.
A lot of people say they don't. I actually do give a fuck about certain things, but to give a fuck about everything is just impossible. You know, some stuff you just gotta let roll off your back.
But I think people use that "I don't give a fuck" attitude in the wrong way sometimes.
Yes,
because it's like not saying you don't give a fuck about life or yourself. It's just like you don't give a fuck about things that just don't matter.
Exactly.
You know, you're just trying to be authentically yourself.
And
so
you know,
to that,
it's so much easier to be emotionless than to show your emotions, because to show your emotions, it means that you care.
Exactly. And that's why I think people go to that "I don't give a fuck" attitude, because it's easy to say "I don't give a fuck." It's not easy to try, and it's not easy to just say "I'm hurting," or "this is what I feel like," or "I want to just really be myself, but I don't know how to." You know what I'm saying? Because we always want to feel like we're in control of things, and sometimes our emotions are uncontrollable. And I feel like you were just going on saying, "I'm gonna be shut up," but you kind of but you kind of use your fashion to kind of like express yourself, and that is again beautiful. Like, that is again really beautiful.
And I feel like it was always hard for me to express myself through words, through actually speaking them out.
Yeah.
So to sit here and be able to throw on some stuff like, this is how I'm feeling today. Because I went through a really dark path where I really didn't realize it at the time, where all I wore was black. And it was just bringing me down. And when I realized, when I started coming out of this path, I was able to kind of bring the color back into myself and actually see stuff through a colorful lens rather than black and white.
Yeah.
And I just, like, to get to the style I am today, I watch a lot of like fashion videos of like you know, get ready with me, outfit of the day videos, and I just kind of draw inspiration from other people, which is nothing wrong with that. It's a thing as inspiration, then it's a thing as straight stealing somebody's
style. Right, or copy, yeah.
And what I like to do, I just like to take elements of different parts of people's style, or even just stuff that I just like, you know.
Right,
I
see something on, oh, because it's okay to like something, you know what I'm saying?
It's like, I just take different parts of it, and I just add it on to myself, because I am a multifaceted creature. I don't like to stick to just one thing. So when it comes to fashion, I just think of it as like a spectrum, not just one particular thing.
Yeah.
And that's just really where it came from, just allowing myself to be able to be free and to express myself in the most creative way possible and just not give a fuck. Like, I just want to be free.
And I love that. I love the freedom of feeling free, of expressing your liberty through your creative side, and also just being able to find yourself in a mental space. I was at church today, and one thing I think that really just caught my attention was one of the things in the message that he was saying that caught my attention was, a lot of times we find ourselves signing a contract instead of signing a covenant. And he was, you know, talking about marriage, you know, and especially like in today's generation of how we don't really value marriage. But just through this conversation, I think what I could take from that, and I feel like what the listeners and the people watching can take from it, is that sometimes we sign ourselves on a contract. You know what I'm saying? Like, even how at first you didn't know yourself, and it's like you saw yourself go through a transition in your life. You know what I'm saying? And at a point in your life, you was on a living contract, because you was like, look, I might, you know, because when you think about a contract, you know, you're signing something to agree to these terms, but if these terms don't go appropriately, then, hey, we're going to have to get out of this contract. But when you got into your new self, you was like, okay, this is my company. Because that old you, when you was dressing all black, when you was really just trying to figure out what was going on, and then you were also just in a space where you didn't know what was going on, you were on a contract. But the fact that you were able to go through with a covenant and just live within yourself and be unapologetic, you know what I'm saying? Like, that's really what the word that I feel like I was looking for. You are so unapologetic. With style, with your words, and just with your talent, and again, I want to say, like, that is beautiful, and that is really empowering. And just to go back to you talking about, like, what led you to the fashion. So I have a quick teaser question: is there anybody, whether they're a fashion model, a fashion designer, or whatever? Or whatever, or whether they're high or low grade, for when it comes to their status, who is somebody who, like, inspires you? Like, what person, like, really inspires you?
I would say my biggest inspiration in fashion, besides myself.
Right, besides yourself, of course.
Besides myself. I really like men's fashion. I feel like a lot of my, like, inspiration comes from men's fashion in general. I wouldn't say it's just one person that inspires me, actually. It's just a whole collective of people that inspire me. Like, I love Pharrell. I love what he does. I love...
He's very artistic with his fashion.
Absolutely. And as far as, like, times... I used to really love 90s fashion, but as I've gotten older, I'm more into, like, early 2000s and, like, 70s and 80s. I like stuff that fits tight here, but, like, flares out at the bottom.
Yeah.
I love shoulder pads. I love color, stripes, patterns, all that. I really don't like solid stuff.
Yeah.
So I just love stuff that has character, which is why I really love thrifting. And you're just able to take something and, like, rejudge it. Sometimes a lot of clothes have energy in them. And I'm actually called to clothing sometimes. Like, I will go to places like...
I ain't never heard of that. She's called to clothes, y'all. That's a comment,
like,
right there.
What is that? And then sometimes, as just a plain object, you can see, like, ooh, this really ain't got nothing. But you put it on.
Yeah.
And a lot of times, a lot of people just put on, you know, put a jean on, put a t-shirt on, sneakers, and be like, ooh, that's it. But me, it's all about layering, and it's all about adding on more than taking away. Of course, a simple outfit, it can have a statement, but to sit there and add on stuff to make it whole and 100%, it's a beautiful process.
It's a beautiful process. I love it. And so, with the outfit today, like, tell us what inspired this. Because I definitely have one to get it. I wasn't gonna miss that, man. I was not gonna miss that. So for all the people who are listening to the audio, just make sure y'all go tune into the visual, the podcast, on the visual podcast, just to of course, check out her outfit. And I might just throw in a little blooper at the end, you know, me showing the whole outfit, the whole little trend. And again, shout out to her because she is a fashion stylist. So for all my people who want a fashion stylist, here you are. Please, you know what I'm saying? Up, hit her up.
Trying to get out of the 9-to-5 lifestyle.
Look, please. I told her when I get rich, I'm hiring. Look, I'm not playing with y'all. I'm serious, I'm hiring y'all because I need help.
But this outfit today, I'm really a last minute person, so I really like to wait to probably like a couple hours before I gotta go somewhere to get my outfit.
Procrastination is real. Procrastination is so real.
You saw what I put in my bio. Okay. I'm an artist and a procrastinator right after.
Yes.
But when I get in the shower, I try to think about what's in my closet. And since I haven't worn this shirt today before, I was like, let me just wear this.
Yeah.
And I used to be a stickler about like, oh, I can't wear this shit. I want to save it, but like, I'm really impressed. I don't know what my last day is. So to not wear my flyest fit is like a crime. It's like a crime. I could die tomorrow. I'm like, damn, I ain't wear my flyest fit. They ain't get to see this. So I just wear it. But anyway, this outfit today, it was just like, I just want to be comfortable. Like, I just want to be comfortable.
Yeah.
And I threw this shirt on. I knew I wanted to wear this hat today. Like, I really wanted to wear this hat today.
Yeah.
So I was just like, let me find something. Gratefully, I had this shirt. I got the shoes to match.
Yes.
So I love a good white sock, y'all. Yes. I'm like a granddaddy.
No, Kizzy, I love me a pair of white socks with a little ruffle on it. I do for real.
But I really love streetwear. So naturally, most of my styling is like small top, big bottom, big top, big bottom, or like graphic tee, ripped jeans. It just depends.
Well, I love me a graphic tee.
Yes.
What's like your favorite graphic tee? Like, what would you describe to be like your favorite
graphic tee? One, it has to be a white tee. Like, I can't do black graphic tees. Like, I can't. They take away something from the outfit. Like, they really do. It just makes it more
black. I guess I like black graphic tees sometimes. Like, I got this one black graphic tee.
You know, I still got black graphic tees. I just be like, I ain't wearing it.
It give you that vibe. I feel like, you know what? I feel like it take you back to that transition.
Yes, which is why I don't wear. You will never see me wear a lot of black. But one thing I do love is a little black dress. Mm-hmm. I love a little black dress when it's time to go out.
Most definitely, I love you a little fitted black dress. Oh, it's like, let's do something to you. It just suck you in. It just have
you looking real good. It just have you feeling confident.
Yeah, you feel like grown woman.
Another thing about fashion, it just brings a certain sense of confidence when you know you look good. And I stand on, when you look good, you feel even better.
Yeah.
And I stand on that real wholeheartedly because I noticed that, like I said, I went through a dark time. And me wearing what I was wearing, it was just bringing me further into my darkness. So I also decided to take fashion to bring me out of a dark time.
Yeah.
And
it did that. Like, and I always tell people, like, and I may say this on every podcast, I may not say this on every podcast, but energy is so real.
Yeah.
You know, and it's even so real when we think about it to ourselves, like the energy that we give back to ourselves. I know, like, it was at a point in time in my life, you know, that I even felt like, now that I'm thinking about it, that I was going through a transition. And I could think about, you know how you talked about how you couldn't dress, like I was, and I feel like it was, I couldn't dress at the time, you know, but I didn't care about how I dressed. Because like you, I didn't want that attention. I didn't even, because I didn't want people, it is like, to describe the attention, I didn't want people just looking at me. I didn't want people asking me what's wrong. I wanted people to look at me like, ooh, I don't want to talk to her. Because I didn't even want people, like, I didn't want that, you know. And I had distanced myself just from everybody. And then once I had the feeling of me wanting to find myself and really like get back into like, okay, what's hurting you? Like, you need to heal. We need to talk about it. It's okay to talk about it. And I started seeing that fashion trend change. And like, that's why I love just having these conversations about people like careers and stuff. And I love talking to people who have these different careers and different career interests, because you learn so much about yourself. And I feel like what's so important that I want to bring alive again and just reinstate is that fashion not only is just a style of appearance, but it's also a style of emotions, and it's also a style of vulnerability, because we can be so vulnerable in our fashion and how we look and how we dress. Like, people who wear hoodies a lot of times, that means they're trying to cover up, because they may be trying to cover up something inside. Somebody who doesn't wear a lot of clothes a lot, they may be feeling like, I want somebody to come to me, ask me what's wrong, I'm hurting inside. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So, you know, and we judge people based on these clothes. And so, like, we'll judge somebody who wear hoodies, like, it's hot outside, why are you wearing it? Instead of asking them, are you you okay today? Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's that reverse psychology for a young lady who may always want to show her stomach or may have also little Daisy Dukes. And, you know, we deny the fact that she's a woman because of how she's dressing. So we look at her like, oh, she's trying to dress like a hoe, or she's lowering her standards for men. She's not caring about, you know, how she's appearing to people. But really, she's needing people. She's trying to draw attention from people because something is wrong with her too. So it's like you said, fashion is so important, like, in our lives, because it really defines us and our emotions, like really to a hard point. And like, I ain't gonna lie, really just through this conversation, you know, I've really been understanding that concept of how fashion really defines like who we are and our emotions and stuff like that, because we don't really think about that, you know.
Right.
And I think one thing too that really spoke to me, like, as I was reading your bio, as you were talking about fashion, and I think you were stating that through fashion, you know, and you said it here too, just how you found yourself. I just think that's beautiful, because also going back to how you were saying you didn't really know what or who you were and what you wanted to be. And I think that, and I'm very spiritual, so y'all will always like hear me talking about God. I think that God just had to show you through colorism, not speaking for as an individual, but just through fashion, through patterns and just through art, period, who you were. You know what I'm saying? And I love the fact that you're different and you dare to be different, because that's how you were able to like realize, like, oh my God, I'm wearing black, and that's really defining me as just this cold-hearted person and just this dull person. But as you began to awaken and prosper and just grow out of that, now you're this bright color individual. You're just such a fashionista. And I'm going to keep saying that all day, y'all, because y'all got to see her like, this is nothing. Like, literally, this is nothing. Like, I mean, not even just with the clothes, but just with the hair. Like, well, I ain't gonna lie. Okay. Because, like, that style you had, dudes giving to Erykah Badu. Like, I ain't gonna lie, I love that hairstyle so much. And I don't know if you want to tell me your secret or not, or the world. But, what was your secret? Because I was like, oh my God, like, goddamn, she do her shit. And be like, bitch, I'm gonna need my hair done this whole time. Like, I was kind of mad, y'all. For real. I was like, I ain't gonna say nothing.
I'm mad, I get everybody to
saucy. But,
I'm
saucy. But, y'all, them been too nice with the little hanging back too. She had the hair pulled up. I was like, queen, show what I did.
Like I said, a lot of shit happens to me last minute, and that's when I do my best work, because I'm under a lot of pressure to, no, like, help. Damn, I don't want to look crazy.
Right.
So today, I think it was time for me to wash my hair, to be honest. And I was like, I can't wash my hair right now because I don't have the time. So I was like, okay, what should I do? And usually when I'm out of time to do my hair, I do a little like braids. I do my own hair, just to put that in there, but I don't do other people here because I just cannot. That day I was just like, fuck, I need something to do to my hair. So I keep a few hair packs in the bathroom. So I was like, okay, I'm gonna get these hair packs, let me try something out. So I just tried something out, and it usually come together and I'm really not one to wear wigs and stuff. I really do prefer the more natural stuff because I'm more of like a urban, earthy type person.
Yeah, low-key. I be trying to be more urban and earthy.
Yeah. I just like to be in touch with my roots more than anything, and I don't like to feel artificial per se, but I'm not knocking the people that do wear wigs, because I used to wear them a lot, but that was only because I didn't feel like doing my hair.
Yeah.
But, like I said, my hair is a big part of me due to the fact that it also involves the fashion, my love for creativity. It's just a whole nother way to express myself.
Most definitely.
And when it comes to hairstyles, it's just another place to have fun.
It is, because you can do so much with your hair. Like, oh my God. And that's what I loved about that Pacific hairstyle. I'm going to try to find something, and I'm going to tell you now, I'm going to blow it up, because I want them to see it, or you can see me a video, I don't care, because we're going to find it. I just really want them to, like, see that creative style, because it was creative. And not only that, like you said, just really get in touch with your roots, because you know, and I'm such a research freak and a history freak, and I just know, like, when I was doing my research, especially as it relates to African American, well, I don't even want to say African-American, but black individuals as a whole and colored people, you know, we talk a lot, the research talked a lot about how our hair is so important as it relates to our ancestral background. You know what I'm saying? Because, like, our hair is how we get in touch and in tune with our roots and our ancestors and stuff like that. You know, that's why people say never cut your hair off, because it's like, how are you going to get in touch with your ancestors? And I just feel like that style was so energetic. It was fun. It was festive. And it was very ancestral. You know what I'm saying? And that's why I said you really gave me those Erykah Badu vibes. I was just like, and then y'all, the dots was just so fat and juicy. I was like, oh, I loved it. I was like, how did she do that? You know what I'm saying? It was like one of her stuff, like, damn, bitch. I'm gonna take this wig out, like, fuck this wig and put it in front of, like, I wanna do that. And the reason I'm bringing all this up because, you know, I've really become the type of person just to tell people how I feel, whether it's bad or good. And, you know, especially if it's good, like, I be wanting to tell people, like, how they inspire me. And like I said, I'm a very much believer in God. And kind of like what you stated, I had just been going through a lot mentally. And I hate to say this on a podcast, but I am, because I feel like, you know, a lot of people may feel like this, especially us women, you know, especially in this generation. But I have been going through a lot, just, you know, my friend groups, people who I thought was friends, called friends, all that stuff. And I'm so, like, I feel like I'm very down to earth. And, like, not just saying just as who I am, but just me, period. Like, I analyze everything. I'm an overthinker. Like the word friend, I'm like, bitch, the definition of friend means this. Like, you know what I'm saying?
I'm
like,
so careful.
Like, yes, yeah, like, friend. And it's like, I just can't call anybody friend. Like, and I'm just giving it, for example, let's just say I, you know, for us, like, okay, I talk to you one day. I'm not going, you know what I'm saying? And that doesn't mean you're a bad person. And I feel like people should treat me that way, because that's how I treat people. Like, if I feel like we don't really just have a divine connection. And I say that we got to talk every day, because I know I'm always busy. And you know what I'm saying? I know that other person may be busy, but it's like, to really call somebody a friend, what kind of value are you adding to my life? You know what I'm True. Saying? And anyways, I was just going through so much, you know, and this past year, like the end of last year, I've just been dealing with a lot. And I just want to say, like, here on this platform, that I thank you, you know, like, seriously, like, this is no podcast talk, y'all. This is just really me talking and kind of being, you know, because when you came into my life, I was really trying to, like, find myself at that moment. You know, I was going, like I said, I was going through a lot with people I call friends, because I'm a high believer of friendships and relationships, period, are very valuable to our lives. Like, we need friends. Like, if we were supposed to be in this world alone with meaning spouse, meaning friends, we wouldn't have any, you know. People would just go to work and go home, or go party by themselves and go home. But a lot of people don't even know how to party by themselves, and they're not with a group of people. So that just kind of shows you that we need people. And I know at the time, like, when I met you, I met Sai, shout out to Sai, you know, I was so thankful for Mojo, shout out to my friend Mojo,
shout out to my friends.
And, you know, when he introduced me to y'all, like, y'all were, like, such an enlightenment to me, you know what I'm saying? And you can ask him, like, I told him, I think I was a little drunk, but I was telling him, I was like, Mojo, why did you do that? He was like, what did I do? I was like, you introduced me to your friends. And he was like, oh, yeah, they cool. I was like, no, you don't understand. Like, I said, I was really just going through something. And I was like, it's about who they are as individuals. But I was like, it's more so, you know, about how they carry themselves. I don't even know how to describe it. But just the way they appear to people, the way they treat each other. Like, you could just literally feel the love, you know what I'm saying? And it doesn't feel fake. It doesn't feel phony. It was so real. It was just so authentic. You're welcome. And that's why, like I said, I just had to come over here and say thank you, because I think it's even greater than your fashion. Like, you were able to help me discover some things about myself. And, like, I'm still discovering them. But life is a never-ending journey, you know what I'm saying? But just in that moment in time, I opened a new chapter of my life. And I think even with myself, I had started getting more into, like, loving me naturally, just loving who I am. Because, you know, kind of like how you said, you wanted to be more authentic, not so much artificial. And I felt like I was trying to do that, because I was trying to be a people pleaser. And I really couldn't be honest with myself and say that, you know? But just being in the presence of you, like, you really helped sculpt me. And I think it does have a lot to do with your fashion, because you are so outspoken, not just with your mouth, but with your energy, you know, with your sense of style. And that does go a long way. So from me to you, thank you. That goes a long way.
Thank you.
I'm gonna give you a hug on the podcast, because, like I say, y'all, that goes a long way. And I had to say that, and I'm going to shut up again, because I think it's important for
us.
I
enjoy hearing you speak, though, because you are very wise. You are very wise, and you just seem like you know a lot. You know,
I know, and I don't know a lot, y'all. I just know a little bit. I know a little
She know a lot. Don't discuss. If you just hear her speak, you don't even want to talk. You just want to listen.
Yeah, but like, I mean, I don't know. I know I talk a lot. That's my problem. But I really had to just say that because, you know, like I was saying, I just think it's important for us to tell people who do positive things in our life that they're doing positive things.
Absolutely.
You know, and I think that's important for those people because a lot of times they feel like, oh, I'm not doing nothing. Just how you say you feel like you was just going through life. I think it's important for people to know that they're impacting people's lives in a great way and that they're changing people's lives through the smallest things because I always tell people it's the small things that affect us and it's the small things that create big issues or big resolutions. You know, because you have to start somewhere and you always start small. You never start big. Nobody ever starts big unless you got $100 million or something like that. But when we talk about just some real grind and work, it has to start from somewhere. And that, like I said, that somewhere is always small. Most definitely, it's always small.
Mm. Well, I want to thank you. Thank you for having this space for people like me and even people that's not like me. Thank you for having a space for people that, man, just be themselves.
Yeah, like, I want people to be comfortable on here, you know, like, I always tell people, like, and this is just a disclosure fact, you know, even when we just recording the podcast, how I record them with just no equipment, like, but I'm still getting it done. People still come over here nervous, and I'm there, like, camera.
I was a little nervous.
Yeah, like, people be so nervous.
You make people feel comfortable, you make them
want to
just
talk. Yeah, and I'm just like, girl, get loose, like, just lay back. Just fall out, you know, like cry, like whatever. Like, I want that space because, like, I'm not going to lie, like, I ain't crying yet, but I feel like it's going to be that one conversation. I'm going to be like, I gotta take the lashes off because I feel like I'm gonna get emotional and I feel like it probably is gonna be a build up to that point. But when even when it gets there, like, I know that this space will be something, like you said, that is confidential, is good energy, good vibes, it is safe.
I want
it to create that space. I wanted people to come on the pod and feel safe to talk about things that they go through. I know, like, a podcast that I did with this young lady named Wu, shout out to Wu, y'all make sure y'all go check out our podcast. She was very vulnerable on there, and I didn't, like, and like I said, when I talked to people on the pod, like, this is us talking, and I didn't know she was gonna get that vulnerable. And it, like, I was thinking about this so much today, and I had, y'all, today was my first day going to church, okay? Today was my first day going to church in years. And my pastor was just talking to me about how God was going to bless me. And like I said, I don't know, I just had to start thinking about her and just how she was just so vulnerable. And I know, like, a lot of people, like, well, what is her vulnerability? You going to church have to do with anything? Your pastor talking about blessing you. Well, I thought about how God was going to bless me and how God is using me to be a blessing to others. And as I stated before, it's just the smallest things, like, I didn't expect her to feel that comfortable. You know, like I said, I want this space to be comfortable. I want people to be, but she was so comfortable because she reflected on some things that hurt her. She reflected on a lot of trauma. You know, and it caused me to reflect on a lot of trauma and things that I went through as a young woman. And we were able to connect through our pain and through our trauma. And also just connect to the people listening in on the podcast. And that, again, is what I think is so beautiful and so legendary, that I can do that I can provide this space, that I can not even just provide this space, but just be that person to somebody. Because I, like I said, people, I had yearned for that, you know what I'm saying? And just through this work, just through what I'm doing now, it's like, okay, I feel like I can talk to you, like, girl, we be budding, you know what I'm saying? Like, you're anybody who's on here is like, oh my god, you were going through that too, like, you don't feel alone, you know what I'm saying? I think that's what's special about it. I really do. I think that's what's special about it.
And to touch on that a little bit, I think you do a really good job at expressing the pain that other people wish they could talk about, and the people who feel like they don't have a voice wish they could say. And I really want to applaud you for that. Let's give an applause.
Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate it. Thank you.
I remember the first time I saw you was at Verbal Verse. I think you were supposed to perform, but you ended up getting on your last.
Josh was there.
Yeah, that was.
Yo, Josh.
Yeah,
okay,
yeah, that was when Josh was there.
Oh, my boyfriend gonna keep it, but Josh is so fine. I love you.
But just to see you get up there and your voice, one, has so much power that you can't help but to listen, and you can't help but to feel the emotion that you're evoking out of that poem. It was just, it was beautiful.
I'm an emotional person. Very emotional, and I think
never let anybody steal your emotions, girl, because that is a powerful piece of you, and not everybody has the
the superpower to actually be able to work through their emotion and able to express them. That's their superpower, and I feel like you should take that with you everywhere you go.
Thank you. I'm not gonna say I try to, but I manifest it every day in my life that I do take those emotions in before I go. But then again, back to you. That's why I always tell you I'm thankful to be able to meet an individual just as authentic and extraordinary as yourself, because you again did something to me that I could never, I feel like, with words thank you enough for, you know. And like I said again, like, it was, y'all know I love talking about God. Any Sunday too. Ooh, child, I'm getting started. But yeah, like, I just really do feel like God just bring people in your life for a reason. You know what I'm saying? Like even just through this podcast, through this conversation, like, even though we're talking to each other, we may be talking to some other friends or to some other, you know, young women out there who's listening and who needed to just hear some encouraging words, you know. And also just to the women that's listening, like, especially to a lot of these friend groups, you know, I always tell people, like, find yourself in a space where you learn from each other, where you all are encouraging one another. You know, you're not just telling each other things that you want to hear. I've especially now as I've gotten older, I try not to be that friend, you know, especially one day when I do become a mother to my children. I want to teach my children to not be that friend. And I feel like that's a lot of things that we go through, especially as it relates to our trauma, and just even as it relates to our careers and stuff. It's something that we've been taught, and I feel like especially in this generation, that we're the generation to kind of like come out of that, to kind of like uncover the things that are not normal, to speak up, to say something to things that we see wrong. And I just want to encourage everybody like listening and who's tuning in to be that friend, to be that spouse, to be that wife, to be that husband. Like I said, even to my men, that's even just to my women, but just to be that individual, that person, to call your friends out, to call that person out, to call yourselves out. Be real to yourself. Always trust the journey and just love yourself. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's okay, as we've been saying the whole podcast, just to be yourself. And it's okay to hurt too. Like, you know, and that's why in the beginning, I was just talking about how I love the fact that you talked about how you write about love.
Not only love, I used to write about, like, pain a lot, but I feel like sometimes to relive my pain is, like, a really hard thing to do, and it puts me back into that headspace sometimes. So, yeah. I still write about it sometimes, but a lot of times, I really don't feel as much pain as I used to, so I don't feel the need to write about it anymore. I don't feel as sad as I used to, or, like, I'm not going through that depression or that mental, like, instability anymore. So, I write about love a lot because that's something that I'm really, like, I guess, not, I wouldn't say searching for, but waiting to come to me in all forms, and healthily in all forms. And I write from a place of feeling. I might not have actually experienced the love that I write about, but I know the love that I'm looking for. I know the love that I want. I know the love that I give out. So I naturally just write from a place of wanting and of learning and wanting to just have more in my life, you know?
Yeah. And I wanted to ask you, from a poet to a poet, from an artistical person to another artistical person, do you think there is a time and place to kind of, I don't want to say let go, but start a new chapter of writing as it pertains to, especially the topics of writing about pain a lot, you know? And I'm glad you kind of said that you did used to write about pain a lot, but then you were like, I want to write about something else. Because I'm not going to lie, still feel like I write a lot about pain.
And that's okay, because that can be your personal writing style. And writing about pain sometimes comes a little easier than writing about love, writing about friendship, or writing about just trivial, leisurely things, you know, just writing in general, because pain is such a universal feeling, and everybody goes through that, like, a lot. Some people go through that, like, never experiencing love, but I bet you they feel some pain.
Most definitely.
I bet you they feel some
pain. So do you ever, saying that, do you ever feel like, that especially as it relates to writing and people who write, do you ever feel like somebody who writes about pain, of course this is just your opinion, that may just be something that they're constantly going through. Do you ever feel like that they could ever write about love? Like, what is your perspective on that?
I feel like if you open up your mind and your heart to accept love and to learn about love, of course you can write about it. But if you feel like I said, it's a little easier to write about what you're going through naturally, because you're feeling it right now. Mm-hmm. But
me, it's all about growth. And not saying you're not growing because you typically write about pain a lot. It's just like you're still working through that pain.
Yeah.
And that is your way of working through. It's like therapy of a sort.
Yeah.
And I have kind of worked through a lot of my pain. I haven't worked through it. I actually deal with a lot of trauma. And I do this thing where I just push it to the back of my mind. Okay, whatever. It is what it is. Because a lot of stuff in life, it is what it is to me. And
yeah.
it's going to be what it's going to be. And a lot of stuff you cannot fix. You cannot dwell on that shit because it already happened in the past. You just got to learn from it. Life is a big old learning experience. And I feel like if writing about your pain is helping you learn and work through that, continue to do that. But I also feel like open up yourself to the thought of love. Open up yourself to even thinking, to even wanting it, you know, to even receiving it.
Mm-hmm.
And then I feel like it'll come naturally to want to write about it.
Yeah.
And I write about a lot of stuff that like happens to me. And I'm starting to write about friendship a lot too, because my friends are like a really, really like inaugural part of my being.
Mm-hmm.
They're like family more than family is to me, because they have done a lot of things. It's not always about what they do, but they have done a lot of things to me to show that we sticking beside you, and we're gonna be down for you for the ride. We're gonna be down for you for the hurricanes, the rains, and the earthquakes, you know.
Yeah. And that's important. Like I said, it's very vital. It's to our lives. We think about
that. And it's just like they've done things that I feel like my own family would never do for me.
Mm-hmm.
And shout out to my family. I love them, and I love for who they may be, but like I just feel like growing up, I was missing things from them,
mm-hmm.
and my friends kind of provided that empty space that I needed.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm really happy that I know them. These people, Sai, Mojo, Sade, Jay, KG, Sean, shout out to y'all, like for real. Yeah, for real. But I just feel like writing is just like a roller coaster, the up and down process. Either sometimes you're writing about pain, sometimes you're writing about love, sometimes you're writing about just bullshit, and sometimes you can't, you can't really
you can't even find the words to write.
You just writing, and that's okay too. I feel like it's all a learning process, and you really just gotta work through it, honestly.
Yeah. Do you think that when it comes to your songwriting and you creating music, is that like the same process you go through?
Now, okay, so when I first started writing music, I really thought I wanted to be a musician and a songwriter, but
what kind of musician specifically? Like,
So when I first started writing music, I was watching this artist named Olivia Rodrigo. She's a pop artist.
Mm-hmm.
And she writes like almost like catchy tunes, like really easy stuff, like, ooh, I can see myself doing this. So that's really kind of what got me to like, ooh, I can see myself doing this. So I started, and I would write like, I guess you could say pop stuff, but it just did not feel authentic.
Yeah.
It felt fake as hell. It didn't feel like, this ain't me.
You were just trying to be somebody else.
So I would write, and it would be frustrating from time to time, and it would be like, this is not gonna work for me. And I switched from pop to kind of R&B, because I am an R&B head, so that's naturally, I feel like, would come easier. And so I do like to take the easy way out, because why do I need to stress myself out for no reason? Especially for something that I just started. So naturally, I went an easier route of doing R&B. And it did come a little easier, but me being the person I am kind of a perfectionist.
Yeah.
So when stuff wasn't like coming out where I wanted to be, or like an idea in my head didn't come out how I wanted to be, I was just like, fuck this shit, and like wipe everything out the table.
Really?
And so one day I recorded like my first song, and it's called Star Crossed Lovers. It's not on platforms. Do not ask for it.
Because I was gonna ask for it, y'all. Y'all know I'm trying to get out of music.
That was like one of the first times where I feel like, okay, I can do this, because I did the melody. I wrote the lyrics. The beat was a YouTube beat, but I did all that, and I just wanted somebody to like, hey, this is what I want to do. And good thing he was like a good friend of mine, so he's like, cool, let's do it. And I did it, and I recorded another song that same day, and it was even better than the first one. So I was like, okay. To me, all it takes is that one time for me to do something, whether it's frustrating or not, and it keeps me wanting to do it. But I kind of moved away from songwriting, because at one point, it just felt like a job. And I hate when stuff I'm doing, like a passion project, I hate when it starts to feel like a job.
Because
it takes the love out of it.
Yeah.
So I started writing poetry. I've always written poetry since like high school. But like I started taking it a little more serious like the beginning of this year, end of last year.
Okay.
And it's just been taking off for me. And I feel like this is actually my purpose. Music, it just felt like it wasn't my purpose, but it was still something fun to do.
Yeah, so it was, so for you, like, especially like we would say now, recent times, that music is not really so much your passion, but maybe just like a hobby.
Yeah.
Maybe like something that especially can connect to poetry, because I always tell people music is poetry, most definitely. Okay, then, so like, Were those two songs like the only songs you ever have written and recorded?
I have written many other songs. Okay. I've written many, but okay. I have recorded another song, and it's a house song, and it's one of my best songs to date.
So,
but
what is it called?
It's called Miss Fame.
Miss Fame.
Miss Fame. It is.
Hey, I need that on my
I want to go back and record it, add some background vocals and all that, get it more clean and clear. But, like, I let my friends listen to it. And my friends tell me, like, nah, I mean, this ain't it. You can do better than that. But yeah. I was like, okay, to do something with that. But I just, when it comes to music, that is something that I'm actually really sensitive about. Like, I can share my poetry because it is what it is. But, like, music, it's just, people are so critical of it. They are. If it doesn't have that right sound, it's like, oh, that shit trash. Or, oh, you need to do better. But a lot of times, people are not opening their ears to hear what they're not used to.
Yeah.
So, they already downplaying you from the beginning because it's not something that they used to. So, I'm not ready for that rejection. Yeah. I'm not ready for that yet. I got to prepare myself for the type of stuff. With my poetry, just to, like, stroke my own ego, I know I write really good. So it's naturally people are going to gravitate towards my poetry more than my music, I feel like, anyway.
Yeah.
So I think that's why I stuck with it. Not to say I do.
You are an amazing poet. So definitely shout out to you with the poetry. You are a magnificent poet. Like, oh my gosh. Outstanding.
Not to say I do my poetry for the people, but my purpose is to connect. And if it's not connecting with anybody, then I'm not doing what I'm supposed to be doing.
Right.
It can connect with me, but if it ain't connecting with the people, then what's the point?
Right. What are you doing it for?
You know?
Yeah. So, like, do you feel like, especially as it relates to your music, that, although I know you say you're not passionate about it, it's still like a hobby, do you ever feel like sometimes in the back of your head that if you do get more comfortable with, maybe, let's just say you put out a song, just to see what will it do? Do you feel like you will ever get to that point? Like,
yes, because when I get on a stage, I'm not Destiny anymore. I'm not Blue Jean. I'm just the entity of this of a body that's up there. Like, I'm not myself anymore. I just let the stage take me, and we just one, if that makes sense. Like, we just become one. And I kind of lose myself on stage. So I feel like I could get up there and really do my thing, but I just have to get rid of the doubts, the feeling of rejection, the insecurities of how I'm feeling. And once I do that, I feel like I can really excel in the music situation. But I would want to be more of a songwriter than actually performing the songs. I guess I would rather write for people. And then maybe it could evolve into me becoming a performer, you know? Yeah. And I had did my poem. Yeah, you was there. I did a poetry I did a song in the style of spoken word.
Yeah.
And that was probably one of my most personal songs I had ever wrote. It was really hard to do that, I'm not gonna lie. I was still kind of nervous doing it, but I feel like it's necessary. And sometimes, even though you might feel like you're scared or that fear is sitting in the back of your mind, like I said, it comes back to connecting people and letting my voice be heard, and letting people who feel like they don't have that voice to be heard hear me, and let them hear themselves through me. So.
Yeah, I remember that piece, actually. I'm glad you brought that up, because that piece, as I listened to you talk about it, because you did talk a little bit about, like, mentally what you were going through. And even just talking about it now, I just caught chills. And I guess I caught chills, like, because that is something emotional. And I did connect with that piece a lot as well, because, you know, as you all may or may not know, I am very young. You know what I'm saying? Well, I'm not that young, but I'm young. And, you know, but I did go through a lot of things at a young age. And I mean a lot, you know, just with an abusive relationship and just having those suicidal thoughts and just feeling like I was literally alone. And when I say I felt alone and somebody was next to me, like, oh, my God, it was horrible.
I feel it.
Yes. And, like, as I listened to your piece, like, it took me back there. And I don't want to say it was a negative thing, but it just made me reflect of what I've been through. And it's like, those shackles are gone. Like, I could, like, I'm not gonna lie, like, when you brought it up, I could just hear you repeat that in my head over and over. And I was listening to your piece, just like, even though I wasn't on stage and I was just sitting there, I wasn't myself, you know, like, it's like my energy had just got out of me, and it was like, oh, you need to feel this. I need you to feel this, because right now you're trying to have fun, but this is like a testimony for you. And it's like, in that moment, I just feel like, oh, I want to cry, but I can't, because I don't want people to see me vulnerable. I don't want people to see me or know that I've been hurt.
Right.
And in that moment,
I did go into the bathroom.
And I knew it. I was like, oh my God. Woo, I know that was hard for me.
That was hard. It was heavy, but it felt like a release at the same time. Yes. It just felt like I need to do this. I can finally kind of move on from that situation in my life, because I feel like
granted, it's not holding me down as much as it used to, but it's still in the back of my head, like, I can really get back to that place right now. Yeah. And I didn't want it's that energy lingering anymore. And I was just like, let me just release. And getting on stage is like a form of release for me. It's a form of healing. And I really do heal through my art. I write the heal myself, and I write the sometimes heal others, because I'm not writing about what I go through sometimes. I'm just writing about how somebody else might feel, or how somebody made me feel, and somebody else might feel that feeling, you know? And so when I got on that stage, a lot of my stuff I kind of think out, but a lot of my stuff I kind of just let fall free. And to see Mojo get on that stage, and that was his first time ever getting on the stage, to see him go acapella, it was very inspiring to kind of say, fuck fear, fuck doubt, fuck the insecurities, fuck the rejection, fuck all the negativity. And that's kind of what I've been living by lately, fuck fear, because fear is nothing if it's not going to kill you. Fear means nothing. So I healed through my art by just letting my own personal experiences speak for themselves.
And that night, it definitely spoke. Yes. Like, it definitely spoke. And like I said, not only did it speak for you, but, excuse me, but just even with myself, I know I probably wasn't the only one who was heartfelt by that, or who felt a sense of urgency just to go back to somewhere they was, and then it's like, oh my God, look who I am today. Like, you know what I'm saying? Yes. And that's really like
one revelation.
Yes, it really was a revelation, and it was a revelational moment, because it's like, man, I come so far. And I think, like, to what you said, like, especially as it relates to fear, like, we don't give ourselves enough credit, you know, and like a lot of times it's us doubting ourselves, you know, we put all these negative thoughts in our head. And I feel like just in that moment of you just reflecting your pain and sharing it with us, that was so testimonial. And it was, again, it was so inspiring and enlightening, because, like I said, a lot of people can't even just go up there for one.
Yeah.
You know, and a lot of people don't have the strength to just, even through poetry, a song, that is some hard shit. Like, that's some hard shit. And just for, like I said, for me to just sit here and talk to you about that and be able to reflect on it, and just, like I said, continue to preserve your voice in my head as you made the statement of the shackles. That's all I could think about, that, oh my God, those shackles were holding me down once upon a time too. And like I said before, like, when you came into my life, when your presence reflected mine, it's like, wow, she is so beautiful, you shine as bright as a star, like, you know. And when you said that piece, you know, because, and I want to say this too, because a lot of people, they may look at you and see who you are today, they don't know what you've been through, you know what I'm saying, they don't know your journey. And in that moment, it's like, you didn't even have to tell me nothing that you went through. It's like, I felt every word, you know. And I think that is the beauty of art. I think that is the beauty of your fashion. I think that is the beauty of who you are as an individual, artistically, creatively, spiritually, because the divine spirit, like, really just made a connection that day, you know what I'm saying? And I thank you again just for being able to share that night with us, you know what I'm saying? Because that was very vulnerable, and I know that was a very vulnerable moment for you.
I pride myself on being vulnerable,
I think we all do, though. I think a lot of people kind of, like, pride that says I'm being vulnerable, mm-hmm. because it's like a weaker side of us. Everybody tries to be,
but a lot of people don't realize that's their strength.
Yes, and but then again, like you said before, it's hard to be vulnerable. Mm-hmm. Like, it's man, I ain't gonna lie, it's like, it's crazy. Like, even if you talk to sometimes a friend, and you know what's crazy? Because when I was in church today, I was like, God, I really want to give my testimony in front of my mama, like, and just tell her how I feel. But it's like, I'm scared to show my mama me being vulnerable. Because my mama has always been this hard, defensive body person, where she's never shown her emotions unless she's just, like, really mad. You know, it's like she tries to be emotionless. And it's like, I need you to have emotions. I need you to show me you care. Like, I need you to show me that you're hurting. Because I know that you're hurting. Like, and it's okay to hurt.
Yeah.
But I feel like that's the only way that I can forgive you, and that you can forgive yourself, and that you can forgive me, that I can forgive. Because you trying to be hard about it now, especially as a parent, like, you making me be hard about it, you know what I'm saying? And I think especially, like, with our parents, like, when it comes to, like, them doing things to us. And I always tell people, it ain't gotta be nothing big, y'all mom or dad did, or just anybody in particular, because, again, the small things matter.
And the small things are usually what stick with you on that ceiling.
Yeah, and they are, and I don't know, I don't know when, but I pray to God every day, like, I can find a time to be very vulnerable with her, and that I can find a space to just tell her, like, hey, I'm hurting and I want to talk to you about it. You know what I'm saying? I think that is important.
I feel that because I kind of have a, I'm not going to say I have the worst relationship with my mom, but it's strained because I can't be vulnerable with her. And I feel like, in a way, she stole emotional sides of me that I'm not able to show as far. Like, being able to express myself is something that I taught myself. It's something that, because trying to talk to my mother, it's like, I'm deparent. I don't want to hear that. You're inconveniencing me and shit like that. And it's just like, damn, I can't even sit here and be very vulnerable and tell you how I feel without you feeling like I'm being combative. I'm trying to argue or I'm talking back or being disrespectful. And it just... it's things that I wasn't able to get that emotional connection from my mother and kind of had to learn to be emotional from myself and from my experiences with people. Because I can say, if you ask people, they will say, Destiny used to be mean as fuck. Destiny used to be this. Destiny used to be that. But I went through heartbreak and that changed me like 180 to like, for somebody to bring you down to your lowest point and you have to build yourself back. It's almost like relearning yourself, and it's almost like being a toddler. You learning how to walk, you learning how to talk again, and that was a very, very hard time for me to go through. And also for my father, I feel like he wasn't emotional. Like, he was there physically, he was there monetarily, but just emotionally, I could never sit down and have a conversation like, hey Dad, I'm feeling depressed today, I'm not feeling 100. But it's also like, I can't fault them.
Yeah.
You know, because that's kind of what they went through, and it's kind of, they was doing their best, and I realized that as I've gotten earlier, they was just doing their best, but at the same time, I can't acknowledge that your best was not enough.
And
I want you to acknowledge that too, instead of trying to sweep it under the rug and move forward, because I cannot move
because you can't move forward if you're still hurting from the past shit,
and that shit is just so hard to kind of get over sometimes. And this is where I kind of feel like When it's hard to get over, trauma therapy is like a really big thing. And I've been wanting to try therapy for so long, but it's just, it's a fear thing. It's a fear of being told, like, this is wrong with you. And granted, you want to help me, but it's like, I feel like, am I really going to get that help that I need from this? And it's always just like, am I always going to be stuck in this same position, even though I'm trying to get out of it?
I think for me, and I'm not sure about others, but I'm sure that others have that sign for you, especially as it relates to therapy, that a lot of times we're scared that we're the problem, you know? And that's why I love talking about, like, trauma with our parents and with people who are our intermediate family, because, yes, we blame them for a lot. And a lot of times they are too freaking blamed. But then a lot of times, you know, especially I watched a motivational speech that Eric Thomas talked about, and he talked about how his dad wasn't in his life. And, you know, my mom, she left me at 18, so she was in my life, of course, through my 18 years. But even through that small time, it's like, bro, you left me when I really, like, yeah, I needed you then because I couldn't take care of myself. But it's like, bro, I need you to teach me about money. I need you to teach me about life. Like, what the fuck? And
I
showed,
but, like, by the time I turned 18, I was thrown to the wolves.
Yeah, and it's like, damn, bitch, like, what am I supposed to do? I don't know how to have, and I didn't have a game plan. But I think the most important thing that we, especially this generation, and that's why I say, like, I feel like we're the generation who's going to speak up and speak out, that we have to learn that it's okay to make that first step to say something. Because again, like you said, our parents, that's the trauma that they went through, and they have been taught through their parents to just, like, hide it. And I feel like sometimes that can be a cultural thing, especially in minorities. Absolutely. That we don't talk about things that's hurting us, that we don't reflect on the pain, and then we don't try to heal over the trauma.
Our pain is so normalized that all we can do is get used to it.
Exactly.
Fuck change. Exactly. When you're so used to being beat down and brutalized, of course you're going to internalize your pain and let that become who you are instead of actually working through that shit.
Exactly. And you said something that was really important to me, and I know you said it in your bio, and I had wanted to ask you this question. You said that it was like you was going on a 180. And you know, of course, for people who may be old enough to have taken a math class, you know, who know what a 360 circle is, that's a full circle. And you didn't take a full circle, you took a half circle. So why do you describe that period of your life, or just even periods or moments in your life, as a 180? I feel like that's really important. I just, if you don't mind sharing that, I really have wanted to dig deep into that.
for one, when people say 360, that means you ended up back in the same spot that you started in. Say you did 180, that means you flipped around and turned it into something new. So as far, okay, let's start with my depression first. Such, I've never been the most depressed kid. I kind of just lived day by day and really just didn't let stuff like bother me. But I didn't really experience my first depression until 2019. Me and my girlfriend broke up and a lot of other things happened. It was kind of emotionally abusive, low key. Not for my part, but maybe, okay, I'm gonna accept accountability, but I would say not for my part, for the simple fact that I was very honest and open about my emotions and how I felt. But in return, I feel like I got lies, I got, you know, verbally abused a little bit, and I just felt like very misunderstood.
Yeah.
And to experience something like that, it sits on you, and it sits in your heart, and it sits in your brain, and that shit still sits in my brain to this day.
Yeah.
And it's just like, I didn't want to sit there and continue to be a hurt person. I really hurt for a very long time. I probably didn't come out of my depression until about 2021. Really last year, I kind of started to pick myself back up off the ground. And it just took me not wanting to be who I was and not wanting to turn into my hurt and pain, you know? And I don't let my hurt or my pain define me. I just let it guide me, you know? Teach me, transform me, and change me into something new and better. And that's, I just always want to be better. I always want to keep learning. And what it takes to go, I guess, through a 180 is to acknowledge the fact that you need to grow and evolve. And to not acknowledge that, it stunts your growth. It stunts your growth for sure. And I'm just always about wanting to grow and wanting to become someone new and wanting to keep changing.
I love that. You are so unapologetic as it relates to all things that defines you. Again, your fashion, your poetry, your hobbies as it relates to music, songwriting. And I love the fact that you entitled the idea of growth, because a lot of us, we think that we're moving forward just because we're getting by and we're not, you know. And I think it's so important to highlight things that are hurting us, and whether that's a person, a thing, bad habits, you know, that we consume in ourselves, because we're actually not growing, you know. And I think that it's so important for, you know, all our listeners today and people watching on the podcast that we understand that just because you're having motion, that doesn't mean you're progressing. And that is a big thing that we've been saying a lot, you know, especially today. It's not, oh, I got motion, I got motion, you know what I'm saying? But a lot of times, that's all we do have.
That's a distraction. Motion. Most of the time, your motion is a distraction from the real problems underneath, you know? And a lot of people distract themselves rather than sitting there and looking in the mirror and facing that shit.
Yeah.
And they're going to keep running in front of that shit for the rest of their lives. And once they get older, they're going to realize, damn, I never really worked through this shit. I would just put other shit on top of it just to distract from that shit, you know?
Yeah.
And I hate that people don't really want to grow and change. They'd rather just move forward without actually acknowledging the problems.
Yeah, most definitely. So before we end today's podcast, I want to ask you this last question. What is one thing that, like, especially today, like, not even just the fact that we're doing a podcast, but just today, the fact that you woke up this morning, you know, as it relates to you getting ready for your day of fashion, the day of us getting ready to have this conversation, like, what is one thing that you plan on growing and to continue to grow within yourself, within your career, and just all things that relates to Blue Jean?
I want...
Let me
think on that.
Okay. Look, take your time. Like they said, the time, baby. Take your time. While she's taking her time and thinking on y'all... I need y'all to start a GoFundMe so I can buy my wine for my pocket. This shit's getting expensive.
So she can get her wine refrigerator.
You see what I'm saying? Because I want to buy different shit.
As far as like changing and growing, I just want to continue to be someone that inspires someone, inspires people to speak up for themselves, to speak their truth, to be emotional and vulnerable, and to be 100% unapologetic. And I feel like I'm at a point where change is not really what I'm looking for right now, because I've changed a lot and I've evolved a lot. Not saying I don't want to keep growing, but like, I'm really comfortable and like secure in what I'm doing right now. And I want to continue to become a better poet. I want to evolve into like
an entrepreneur in sorts. Like I said, I'm trying to get away from the 9-to-5. Like,
yeah,
I want to be something that people also feel like a safe space, you know?
Yeah. Yes, you know? You are a safe space. If you ain't had nobody to tell you that, girl, you are a safe space. Like, most definitely. You are my safe space.
Maybe cry.
Because I was going to cry too. I was like, God, I've been crying all day at church. Like, come on in. Stop playing. Like, Lord, don't use me already.
I never want to let the world get the best of me. I never wanted to let it beat me up and beat me down until I feel like I have nothing left to offer. I have literally done that to me multiple times. But as far as this year, I have been striving very hard to be a strong-minded person. Someone who stands on what they believe in,
yeah.
And just being 100% myself.
Honestly. The beauty in being unapologetic. Shout out to Blue Jean, y'all. Shout out to Blue Jean. So before we end the podcast, Blue, I want you to let the people know where they can reach you. Because as I said before, y'all, she is a fashionista. So make sure y'all get her. If you are looking for a stylist, also too, because as me being a poor, y'all know I love from my poetry. So we're definitely gonna do this on the pod today. If y'all looking for somebody to come to an event to do some spoken word, hey, get at her. Hit us, like, come on now. Hey, we might fucking do a duo for y'all. You know what I'm saying? Two pretty black women. Just let us know. You know,
we finna conquer the world. Don't worry.
Hey, we coming through, and we ain't stopping. We are not stopping. So let the people know where they can reach you with all your socials. And
I'm really only on Instagram these days, but I might try to expand a little bit more. But I'm on Instagram at BC Destiny, the letter B, the letter C, Destiny, DESTINY.
Yes, me.
And I think that's it. You can hit me up through DM to style, to write you some music, to have me at your event. Just let me know.
Yes, most definitely. Most definitely on the music, right? Because I know I have so many artists. Tuning in, and I know a lot of people find it difficult to write, so I think that is something that is very vital to her as an artist, as an artistic individual, is that she can write, you know what I'm saying? And I love that about her, because I've been thinking about writing, so I might just get Blue Jean writing. And before we end, I want to do something very monumental, because I never did this on a podcast, and I think it'll be really cute because you're so fine, and I just feel like it'll be like, you know. So we're gonna cheer out on the podcast, y'all. Thank y'all for tuning in. I love y'all so much. We have concluded this episode. I hope
this
y'all.
This was an amazing episode.
This was an amazing episode. Here. Like, oh my God, it was just full of so much vulnerability, so much encouragement, openness. And I really just hope it's a lot of women, especially because I really wanted this to reach to my women that we love each other, we love ourselves, and that, like I said, we encourage each other to just be so confident and. Ambitious, you know what I'm saying? Like, just go out and just do amazing things, whether that relates to just breathing, because that is a gift. All right, y'all, until next time, we is out.
See y'all later.